Welcome to the She Speaks Sport podcast, proudly elevating women's sport and sharing athlete stories in their own voices. Join us for empowering conversations and a front row seat to the stories that deserve to be heard.
She Speaks Sport is going to be incredibly fantastic today because I am joined by Simone Sharp, and she is quite an incredible, adventurous, smiling go-getter and also a cancer and life-threatening blood disorder survivor who now finds power in choosing her challenges. And she's a real strong believer in the power of movement and an advocate for participation, especially in sports. And that's what I really want to talk about today as well. And she is just an incredible human being. She's participated in the Cape Epic. She loves her mountain bike. And she just really believes that everybody can be involved in movement, participation, regardless of, you know, your talent level or how athletic you are, which sometimes does in our minds hold us back. We go, oh, we're not that athletic, or we don't look like this, or we're not like that, so we can't do it. And Simone just challenges that, and I love that. So Simone, welcome to the podcast today. It is super fantastic to be connecting with you, and I hope that you've been doing well.
Thank you so much for having me and that really cool intro. That's it's nice to hear that from somebody. And absolutely. I just want everybody to take part. It doesn't matter what we look like, what we think we can or can't do based on what we're seeing others doing, because I think that's, it's certainly a big issue that I had in my life before, is like the comparison problem where you're thinking, oh, these other athletes are, they just, I just can't be on the same stage. And it's not a competition. The way I see it and participate, I'm not competing with anyone. And I just started to realize I can do it. You know, I can do it too. And it's okay to come last. I've come last in so many things, like a few marathons, completely last. And it's not, I'm not embarrassed about it. I actually, somebody's got to come last, you know? And it just means that I did it and I showed up. So I'm proud of those ones, actually. Very proud of those ones. So yes, everybody should just give it a try.
It's incredible to hear you say that, though. Isn't it that we put so much pressure on ourselves, especially in, I mean, we always say our modern society, or like our today society. I don't know what's, you know, it was like 100 years ago, but I think that people were still the same. I still think that people were competitive regardless of what they were doing, right? It's almost in us as people, like, okay, I'm not going to participate unless I'm going to come in that top five or that top 10, or I'm not going to enter that thing because, you know, if I don't have a chance at like shining and doing the best, I'm not going to do it. And it's something that is within us as people. And I also find, for women, it's a big thing as well because of, you know, the way that it has been for women for so long. So it's kind of like you have this added pressure. Some people feel this added responsibility of like, I have to show up perfectly, or else I'm letting others down. But the others are imaginary, because who are you letting down? And it's just,
nobody really cares.
No, exactly.
In my experience, you know, it's, so for me, I'm not a naturally gifted athlete. Mm-hmm. I do consider myself one because I train enough. I probably train as much as professional athletes do, but I just don't have the same results. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, like, for me, I'm not racing against them, so it doesn't matter if I'm first to 10th place is not a possibility. So I think for me, that knowledge, it's like, okay, so why are you in such a hurry then? You're not gonna win. You might as well have fun. And I found so much joy in that, because I'm proud of myself for doing it, because it takes, you know, it takes courage to step out of your comfort zone and do something. When I started doing these things, it was a case of, I'm not sure I can. Like, to see the finish line wasn't a given. And then I just started to realize, well, I'm actually a whole lot stronger than I realized. And I realized I can actually go for longer. So it's more endurance that I find excitement in. It's like I started to realize I can just, I'm slow, but I'm steady. And I won't stop until I've finished what I set out to do. And then the like there's just such a sense of power in that because you finish it, you know, it's like, oh my word, I did this thing. And that feeling for me was it's just it's such a beautiful feeling and I want everybody to experience that. So I'd really love for people to let go of this like oh, I'll only do it if I can. Once I lose weight, once I did that for so long. I was quite overweight. I after my blood disorder, I was 25 kilograms heavier than I am now. And I used to think, okay, I'll only do this once I've lost some weight. And it just it robbed me of a few years of joy because it really doesn't matter what you look like. And then the like irony in it is that you'll lose the weight once you start doing it. So stop waiting. Just try.
I love that as well, and I love that we can own that and we should own that, and it's something that you're sharing with us. And also, you do some incredibly challenging and hard things, you have done as well. And I wanted to ask you about the epic, because the Cape Epic this year was was a bit crazy. Thankfully, I was not riding it, which I don't intend to ever ride it. But anyway, I was at least following all you ladies on the app, and I was following you, by the way,
Yeah.
as well. And I'm
Thank you.
just sitting there, in hospitality, waiting for you all to come across the line. But it was a grueling, hectic couple of days. Seriously, it was really hard. And I know that obviously you were on the bike and things got a bit hectic as well. And there was, I mean, there's obviously fatigue, but also there was heat, there was wind, there was craziness happening.
Yes,
And
with
tell
everything.
it was I felt incredibly I just felt so many emotions for everybody riding. I really did, because I felt like the universe threw a lot of things out there. And how was your experience for Cape Epic? But not only just the experience on the bike, but what your reflections have been, after this one specifically, because this one was just really crazy. And I just, like I said, I just had so many emotions for everybody. I had no idea how to feel at the finish line. Seriously, it was terrible for me watching. I was like, how the pain, this is crazy. People are missing like the cutoff as well, because there was heat, there was water issues. I mean, yeah, but your reflections on this year's one.
This was it was my first Cape Epic, and during it, I was thinking this is going to be my last Cape Epic because it was just it got to the point where it wasn't fun. It was just it was just painful. Now that it's settled a bit, I think I will probably be back. But how it unfolded was going into it with so much just so much, like I'm not even sure which word to use. I had been looking forward to this for a year and a half. I was meant to ride last year and then broke my collarbone and couldn't. So I was just so stoked to be taking part. And I had an amazing partner, who I actually don't know that well, but it came to be that I needed to change just before because my intended partner, she couldn't ride anymore. And then Elaine sent me a message and I had such respect for that because it was her stepping out of her comfort zone to send me a message kind of motivating as to why she thinks we would be a great fit together. And when I saw that, I knew it because I've been a fan of hers for a long time. She's an endurance powerhouse and We wrote Tankwa together and it went brilliantly, so all geared up. And I was feeling confident in that I, for me, I know I can do these things, very hard things. I don't doubt myself, but what where the problem comes is the cutoff time. So I, it's always a struggle for me because I'm just kind of slow in most things that I do. And so I just, our goal was to make it safely every day, preferably like an hour before the cutoff. That's in my mind what I was going for. And it kind of all, it was going well. My problem was, I think we started a bit too hot. I was pushing and I felt it in the later stages. The really hot day, I was okay because I'm pretty good in extreme heat. I enjoy it and I don't struggle. But my partner wasn't okay and we thought we weren't going to make it because she started throwing up and she just wasn't okay. And I actually hit the SOS button and then called my life partner, who is he does the media e-bike work, Stefan Saum. So he's connected with Epic, and he was sitting in the media center when I called, and I sent him our location, and he was like, "If you can just push for a few more kilometers, you'll get to a point where they can help you." Because I wanted, we needed to go to a hospital when I, the way I was looking at her, it was she's not okay. And we managed to make it to the next point where they told us it's cancelled. And that saved us because if they didn't cancel it, well, I think it would have been irresponsible not to, and it would have ended a lot of people's race, given the extreme heat. But in our case, it really did just save our participation, because then Elaine could go to get a drip, and she just looked after herself that night. I still thought she might not be able to do it the next day. But I think she drank about 5 liters of water or something through the night because she woke up and she got cleared. And from then on, it the next day was, so that was stage three. Then stage four was still okay. Stage five was the queen stage, and it all started to fall apart for me. I just, climbing is not a real strength of mine. People get upset when I say that because they think I'm like, I'm saying it and I'm speaking it into existence. I'm just being realistic, you know, I'm just being honest also. And I struggle. So that day we hung on just like by a thread to make it over the finish line in time. And then the next day we didn't make it. But, and there's huge tears at the end. I like we fought so hard, and I was proud of us. I wasn't even, I was sad, but I didn't feel completely devastated because for me, with these things, what's important is always that you give your best. Like you've just, if I feel I've given my best and I still don't make it, then that's okay because what more could you give, you know? And I got to the finish line feeling like that, and they cut our boards. And then a couple of hours later, we got a call saying they've reinstated us because they assessed the conditions, and the hyenas actually spoke to them and said, "This is, it's not fair." Because what the like the back markers have to go through is it just gets worse and worse and worse. And it was just mad. For like 10 kilometers, the last 10 kilometers was it a mud fest that you couldn't ride, slipping and sliding. And so we got reinstated, and that was like such a thrill. And then the next day we finished it. But for me, my body kind of it just felt like it started to break down every
Oh.
day. Those last 3 days was it was just a fight to make it within the cut of time. It overall it's like it's hard to even put it into a sentence what the Cape Epic was. I've had conflicting feelings about it because I've come to realize that so many people like almost define themselves based on whether they can finish one or not.
Yeah.
Like a lot of the girls that I know who didn't make it, not necessarily this one, but previous epics, it's like it becomes something that haunts them. And you almost place a bit of your self-worth or self-value in whether you can do this thing. And now that I've been through it and I felt that what it felt like to lose it, even though then we got reinstated, I had that experience for a few hours.
Yeah.
And that evening, while we still thought that our boards were cut, I thought to myself this. And so someone said to me, it's okay, you can come back, finish what you started. And I was like, well, I'm gonna finish what I started.
Yeah.
I was still going to ride the next day. It just meant that we wouldn't get like an official finish. But I was like, I'll still do it. And sometimes people, I don't know, I feel like I've been responsible of this too, and we place so much importance on things that actually it's got no bearing on us as people, on our self-worth and who we are. Like, as long as you're doing your best, so you if whatever goals you set for yourself, and it doesn't need to be these monstrously difficult things. Like I decided I wanted to do it, but I'm such a big advocate for doing challenges, and I realize that doing something like the Cape Epic is not for everyone. Like it's really it doesn't need to be. Whatever we find a challenge, whether we complete it or not, if we go and we just give our best, then that's okay. So
Yeah, I'd love that.
yeah, so yes.
It's because it's true words. As I listen to you, I reflect on things in life that we hold ourselves back in, that we don't complete almost, because there's the fear of something about something within us. There's a fear that's attached to it, and it could be, like you said, our self-worth or how we define ourselves or how we think others will think of us if we don't complete this, or if it's not perfect, or if we don't make it there. And yesterday I spoke to an incredible lady. She's an amputee, and we were talking about how she was just saying how beautiful it was to watch fellow amputees participate in the Cape Epic. But she said very clearly, she said, "This is not my goal. This is not my life. I don't have to do that."
Yes.
She said, "For me, my goals are small. It's about riding a gym bicycle, because I still can't do that as an amputee. So I will, and I'm not interested in doing the epic, but I admire people who do." And it's just so profound when we step into our reality of what we want for ourselves. Like you said, it's kind of like someone saying, "Hey, you're going to come back and finish." It's like, listen, I'm achieving what I really want to achieve.
Yeah.
This is what it is for me. Like, everyone's goals are different and everyone sees it differently. But hey, listen, this is what it is for me, and it's okay to be like that. And I also just reflect on that, just having that conversation with her yesterday as well, and her going like, "Listen, that's not my goal. I just want to ride a gym bicycle and be there for my grandkids," And I love that once we own that truth of who we are and what we want, there is a freedom and there is also a power and just a joy that comes in our life. And I think I think that's a lot of maturity, though. I think that comes from maturity and having lived life a bit. And speaking of having lived life a bit, you've been also very honest about your journey, with alcohol and being sober 2 years. recently. Well, I think it was last month. And I think that it is powerful to, you know what, speak about that relationship that, you know, that you had with alcohol in your life and to see how you have overcome and where you are now today. And just sharing that so openly with other people and going through nearly 2 decades of like binge drinking and that being part of your life and probably part of your identity as a person. So tell us a little bit about that, because obviously I know that you've probably reflected on that, and obviously you're in such a beautiful space now in your life, and it's so much hope that you can offer to others who are struggling with similar things or the same thing, really.
Well, thank you. That's what I hope to do, is to offer some hope and just encouragement to others who may be like I was. And the reason I've been so open about it is because I think if everyone who knows me from before, so in the last 2 years, anyone who's met me might find it hard to believe that I was the way that I was. But for the people who've known me for since school and for my 20s and early 30s, you know, they know what how hard I used to party. And so for someone like that to now be speaking about how stopping drinking can just be such a beautiful thing in your life is, and I just want them to realize that if I could do it the way that I was Simone dancing on bar counters, and Simone being the last one standing, thinking it was just the coolest thing to down beers against like big rugby dudes. And it's like that was my life for in high school. I started drinking, and we would all do it. I'm from George, and we kind of like grew up thinking, okay, if you can drink hard, then you're winning in life. And we did that from before we were legally allowed to do it. So it's the norm, and I wasn't the only one doing it. And it continued like into my early adulthood. It's just this, and it's also another reason why I decided to be quite open about it, is because I respected it. And now I think back, until very recently, I kind of like respected, I'm the kind of person who goes hard in everything I do. So then I fell in love with cycling, and I went hard. But with the partying, I went all in, and I used to look up to people who could, it's like, you know, that work hard, play hard. So I would still try and work hard, but then you go out and you just have a fat drawl. And those are the kinds of people that I looked up to, was people who would be able to do that. Like, you know, you can have a couple of beers, more than a couple of beers, and then the next day you go to work and you just like, that's just the way you live, constantly on. And now I think I want young people to realize that is not admirable, and no judgment to people who choose to live their lives however they want to. But there's nothing sexy about binge drinking, especially for a woman. You know, I'd like, I've behaved in ways that I'm not proud of, and it's like it was dangerous, to be honest. And so when I decided to stop, it was only meant to be for a month at first, and then I thought, okay, it needs to be 3 months. And in those 3 months, I felt how positive it was in my life, and I just knew within myself that it, you know, I've never used the word alcoholic because I, for various reasons, I don't choose to use that word. But I would say that I was a binge drinker with a problem. And when I stopped, I felt so much better. And then through the year that I then decided to see it out, it's like I've been able to achieve so many things that I know I would not, like, there's no way I could have done it if I was still drinking the way that I was drinking. So it's really, it was one of probably the best decision actually that I've ever made. And now I just, that's going to be the way it stays. At first I said, I don't want to put any like time limits on it. So at first I think I was a little bit afraid to say that it's forever, but now I've just like it's I realize that there's really no benefit. Like I think we sometimes fool ourselves into thinking like a glass of wine a day is good for you, and there's some doctors who will say that. But I've realized that there's no benefit to drinking. There's just so many to not drinking. So
And thank you so much for sharing this with us, and just for being so open about it as well. And I think it's also in society, like you were saying about that, glass of wine a day, and it's not to be. I'm not saying it as a judgmental thing, but I know people that do that every day, and if they don't, they don't cope. And it's like they're moms and they can't cope with life, and then it's just society accepts it as a social thing that we do. But if you're needing to do it every day when you're on your own at home, you have to kind of hold a mirror up to yourself eventually and say, what is the reason for doing this? Because like you said, there is no benefit. And is it the way that I cope? Is it the only way that I can cope? Are people saying things about me actually and saying, well, you don't want to go anywhere unless there's alcohol involved, then there's a problem. You have to hold a mirror up, and it's just because society just accepts certain things doesn't mean that those things are actually the right things or good things at all. And I'm just so grateful for you sharing this with us because it's so important to hear. And I also wanted to know from you, obviously, I mean, the dust of the Cape Epic has settled a bit. I mean, we're still talking about it because it's important to talk about. But have you set some goals for the rest of the year with regards to mountain biking, with regards to some things you're going to be getting up to? Are you allowed to tell me?
I would be allowed to tell you, but I haven't. So what I've been reflecting on recently is why I have the need to kind of chase goals that leave me feeling a little bit like depleted. And whether that's healthy or not. I think absolutely it's wonderful to have a big goal. But I realized that I started to seek ones that I thought would actually break me. Because there's just some feeling that I get personally from like feeling like I'm breaking myself down physically and still moving. So that's why I did the Cape Epic. I was like, this is going to be the hardest thing I've ever done. And I just kind of want to take a moment to not seek that out. And maybe to do things ag again just for the joy of it. Before I, not to say that I won't do that again, because when I did it, the first one that really I did 13 Peaks in 2022, and that the feeling of that still stays with me because it was so powerful and it changed my life because it really did kind of. I felt like there was no way I could keep on moving, but somehow I still kept on moving. And I think that was one of the best things that I did for myself because it showed me how strong I am. And 13 Peaks for me, it was beautiful in that It took everything that I had, like absolutely everything, just to crawl to the finish line. And I would like to do something like that again, because in a way it's addictive. It's hard to explain why. I think it has to do with what I've been through in life, just with the cancer and the blood disorder that was like me fighting for my life, and it wasn't my choice. And then now doing things where I kind of get to fight to stay in it and know that I can quit but choose not to quit. It really is a, it it's a, this feeling of power that I get from doing these things, but I don't want it to I don't want it to kind of like take over, which I felt with the Cape Epic. I just got this feeling that that's what was happening. So I'm taking a step back and riding my bike for joy, spending time on single track, and going to visit my love in Switzerland for 3 months now.
Oh, cool. That's cool.
Yeah, so there's no big challenges on the horizon just yet. Yeah.
Yeah, just yet. Just yet. I think that, also when I listen to you speak, you carry such a level of self-awareness that obviously you've journeyed through a lot in your life. And the self-awareness that we need to have in life is to know when, like you were saying, like when certain things are happening in life and why are they happening? Why do I feel that way about certain things? And having that self-awareness and carrying that truth with yourself and saying, well, maybe I need to pause and think about why and how and reflect on that. And that's self-awareness. And that's not something that someone can teach you. That's something that comes from within you. So I'm just have so much respect for that as well, and that you carry with you, and that self-awareness, and also the maturity of going, hey, there are these things, and now this is what I need to think about and reflect about. But I just think going to Switzerland to be with your soulmate, man, that's like the best thing ever for a couple of months. That I mean, there's nothing better than that. So you're gonna have such an amazing time, and we didn't even get to speak. Like time just flies by. We didn't even get to speak about some of the other things, like your journey with cancer and the things that you've been through. But I'm sure that we're going to connect up again because the time just went so quickly. I love hearing from you. I just love hearing the calmness that you bring as well and the things that you have learned. So thank you so much for just really showing up and for showing up for others in sharing your story, not only with me today, but in the way that you do. As you write about things, as you just journey in all the different facets of life, as we know, life is crazy sometimes. But thank you so much for that. And thank you so much, Simone, for being with me today and for just chatting through some things that you've learned. And also the Cape Epic, of course, are just giving people different perspectives. So thank you so much for that.
Thank you, Lauren. I've enjoyed it, and yeah, I feel like sometimes I jump. So I hope everyone can make sense of what I'm saying. I get passionate and do tend to jump a little bit from my mind works, and it's just always racing. So I hope everyone gets what I'm trying to say, and
No, definitely.
have a good time.
I'm so sure that they have. And also, you write quite a lot of things over on your website, simonesharp.com. And I think that people can go over there as well and connect with some of the things that you've written and also that you will write. I know that you will do some more sharing as you journey. So thank you so much, Simone. All the best to you for the rest of, the year and the months that follow. I pray that they will be just wonderful ones and blessed ones and great ones and amazing ones, and just that beautiful things that lie ahead for you. So thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you. Thank you, Lauren.
You've been listening to the She Speaks Sport podcast. Find us on your favorite podcast app like Apple, Google, Castbox, and Spotify. Subscribe and like to stay updated on all new episodes. Thanks for listening.